And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Just an off-the-cuff question, Mark. What is it about powers that attracts you so much?
Well, I want superpowers.
Don't you, Mike? Oh, you have them already. I forgot.
Yeah.
The power of staying young despite your age. Good evening and welcome to Is It a Bicycle? Season 13, Episode 10, the original and bestest ever TV and movie podcast. My name is Stephen Wrigley and I'll be your host for this evening. This week we've Man in the Red Corner, it's our cuddle killer, a man who says that his kids make a lot of plans for people who don't know how to drive yet. It's Mark, Superhero Leonard. This week we'll be discussing some movies in the shape of The Pirates of Somalia and Star Wars, The Last Jedi, and many TV things.
I have to interject, I have an issue with the way you said Star Wars. The Last Jedi.
Yes.
You made it sound like any other film.
Oh, sorry. I did a bit tonight. actually, you, it, go on. Give it a go there. Not Star Wars.
The Last Jedi.
The Last Jedi. You're right.
I had a very funny conversation. We watched the Force Awakens here. Abby and Caden, who are 6 and 7 and never really been exposed properly to Star Wars.
Right.
They know what stormtroopers look like.
Yeah.
They have an idea what they are, but they don't know what the Empire is or who anyone is, really.
So they're 6 and 7. Have they stopped going upstairs on their own now? do all the lights have to be upstairs before they'll go up now? Because there's something waiting for them.
they're not too bad. They're not too bad at that. But so we watched it over 3 nights because The Force Awakens is quite long for young minds to hold their attention on.
Yeah.
So we split it, which is a really good idea. And it's incredible how important it is when you're that age, who is a good guy and who is a bad guy.
Yeah.
And there's so many characters, and then they were hard to fit it all in their head because, of course, there's some gray areas. Mm. So they're going, right, is that guy a good guy? And then they're going, but how is he a good guy and the other stormtrooper is a bad guy?
yeah.
But they managed to square all that away. Mm. But then Caden asked me, he said, like, how do you use the Force? Which is a very pertinent question when you're watching Star Wars.
Yeah.
So, of course, you know, having had years of extensive Jedi training,
wow.
I explained to him, you know, his good side and the light side, and I explained to him how each is used, much to the chagrin of Donna, who wanted to eat her own head, sitting on the couch, listening to me being the ultimate geek to her children. But they enjoyed it, and I think they're, well, we'll talk about Star Wars.
Just speaking of which, we have
The Last Jedi in a while.
A letter sent to Santa this year. And part of it was teleportation powers was in the request there.
That is brilliant.
Yep. I like the way he's thinking.
I wish I had thought to ask for teleportation powers. Imagine what I'd be doing now. We wouldn't have to use Skype.
So I bought myself a wee present because I'm worth it last night.
What did you
like
get,
it? I got the mini amps the they can use for like busking and so on. They're like 3 watt or 5 watt, they're little battery powered little jobbies. But I got the Fender. So there's the pig nose was always the big one back in the day. But this is a Fender stack.
No way.
Yeah, it's so cool looking. It's like a mini, it is called a mini stack, I think, or something like that. Yeah, I think that, or Harmony Master, or something like that. It's very, very cool. And the reason I went looking for one was because I was after a loop pedal and I was like, oh, I can't put it through my other amp because it's just too bloody big, you know. So I got a little Roland loop pedal, which to play around. Oh, so it's kind of something that I was just like, oh yeah, it was also one of those. Yeah, definitely buy. Yeah, so I'm all excited. Now I'm excited about Christmas.
I can't wait to hear all the jingles for the podcast you're going to produce with this loop pedal.
Yeah,
that's so cool.
Yeah. So,
can you loop a ukulele?
You can stick a mic on it, so you can loop anything.
Yeah. You know about how much I hate Reggie, who is the guy that does music for James Corden's Late Show.
Reggie Watts, is it?
Yeah, hate that guy.
Do you really? All right.
Oh, you've no idea how much I like to swing him by his afro against hard things.
Oh, why?
He's really annoying. He thinks he's amazing, and he is not. He's a pretty exceptional musician, I grant him.
He is amazing.
But not if you want to listen to something that's good to listen to.
Right.
It's like
Well, he's more about the show.
Kind of good.
You know, he's more about the show. He's nearly more of a stand-up comedian than... He's an artist rather than a musician.
And here is the rub, right? That's exactly right. Yeah. That's the way I should have presented it. He is so artistic that it's shit. And he is not funny. He thinks he's a stand-up comedian. He isn't. He's a stand-up, straight-talking person who doesn't make people laugh at all, ever.
I haven't seen him on that show, actually.
I was vindicated when he appeared on Sing, the a cappella show on Sky.
Oh, yeah.
He was on there, and he did basically an incredible amount of loops.
Yeah.
Using just, obviously, it was just his voice because it's an a cappella show.
Yeah.
And I could tell by the way he was looking into the camera that he thought he was amazing. It sounded like shit. And he was doing like, and that was making music. And he thought he was so cool because he was doing these funny noises that sounded class. I was going, they don't, Reggie. They don't.
So you're 9 next year, right? maybe you got a bad intro. Well, maybe I got a good intro to him. Maybe that's what happened. I saw him on TED Talk, actually. I think that was the first time I saw him. And I've gone back and watched that a few times. It's a great performance. And it's quite funny.
I'll never say that I can't be wrong. So maybe I'll watch the TED Talk and we can talk about it again.
Yeah, actually the two songs that he does are quite good. And he does a lot of rambling without actually saying anything, which is hilarious. But anyway. Anywho. What did you see this week?
Well, I watched a lot of stuff. I started to catch up on Stone Cold Steve Austin's Broken Skull Challenge.
Is that a season?
5. Season 5 premiere.
Yeah.
I actually watched the girl premiere rather than the boy one. I missed the first episode and got the second one.
Right.
So, I'm trying to think what is it that he always says. Is it goddamn? Something like that, I don't know. But, they have made everything a little bit harder this season. So the Skullbuster is quite a bit harder.
Oh, yeah.
So what they had in the earlier seasons was they had a ridiculous climb up a hill. You had to run up a hill and down again.
Yeah.
And that would just wreck you.
Yeah.
And an awful lot of the earlier events were upper body. And then at the end of all that, when your heart and lungs were gone and your arms were already pre-exhausted, then you had to do a rope climb.
Oh, does you have to face off in a trench full of water as well, wasn't it?
Well, there's all these mini games beforehand. Yeah. They're similar to the previous years. Mm. But the Skullbuster keeps getting harder every year.
Right.
So now, after you go up and down the ridiculous hill, you have to lift a whole load of wooden things. It's shaped like a rib cage, and you just have to basically pop all the ribs out.
Right.
And then you do the rope climb. So they've made it even harder. And every aspect of the Skullbuster along the way through the course is a little bit harder than last year. Right. So they're really trying to raise the bar and keep people guessing so they can't train specifically for it. But it's good. So I watched the second episode, which was the girls, and it was good. Good competition.
Are people finishing it?
So last year's girl champion, whose name escapes me, she finished it in something like 6:30 or something like that. And then the girl that won this week's episode, the second episode of it, she came in like 9:15. And watching her 9:15, I actually thought she'd done okay.
Right.
But then there was a huge gap, 3 minutes between them. So it's good. It's a really good show still.
Episode of Champion of Champions or something like that.
I'm sure there will be, eventually.
Yeah. Or is it a winner every week and then they do like a final with all the winners or...
No, they did. They did a best of episode, which I think was the only episode you watched of this in the early days. Which was people that were funny, or you know, noteworthy for some reason in previous seasons. They brought them back.
Right.
And but what happens every week is you try and beat the time of the reigning champion, and if you do, then you become champion. And every time that the champion is not beaten, they earn $10,000.
Oh yeah.
And then if you win, you get $10,000.
Yeah, nice. Yeah,
it's cool. It's really cool.
So you're hooked.
I'm in season 5. It's so easy to watch. So easy to watch. You can stick it on, and it's very PG. You know, we watch it with the wee ones running around looking at it.
Did you get to Floribama Shore?
Yeah, I did. I went looking for that right after Mike mentioned it, because that's right up my street. Like, so I am on to the third episode now. And I think it's good to have a shore type show in America again, because we didn't have one since the situation got out of rehab and Snooki got pregnant. There wasn't Jersey Shore. So they all went off and did their own shows.
Right.
But they were never together as an ensemble again.
Yeah.
They did one last season, and like, you were trying to have a drink fueled, carnage filled sex fest where one girl was pregnant and another guy was out of rehab and couldn't drink.
Right.
They had obviously just aged out of the type of show they were going for.
Yeah.
So I think this Floribama Shore has been cast a lot better. Like, there's a couple of girls in it with a list of issues so long. They're a delight to watch because they cause so much controversy. And I think there's a couple of guys in the house that are like that too. But no, it's good. I'm really enjoying it, and I'm going to keep watching it.
Okay. Is it all about misbehavior? Or is it...
More or less.
Is it, yeah?
Yeah. Like, you go out to a different place every night, you get drunk and shenanigans occur, come back to the house, more shenanigans.
Right.
Hopefully they'll have a few arguments. You know, it's
right, horseplay.
Yeah, it's say, okay, like a classic. Sure, it's like the Geordie Shore. It's like what was that Welsh one?
The Valley.
The Valleys. You're right. Yeah, the Valleys.
Tell me, what's Easy? You saw season one, episode one of Easy. What's that?
Yeah, Easy. God, this was a show that stayed with me. So I'm not really sure how I found it. I think season two has just come out, and either I saw a trailer on Netflix as I was flicking through things or something else. I'm not really sure. But anyway, Easy is about, it's about couples, really. I have a notion that we might have actually reviewed it, but I didn't see it at the time.
Okay.
Last year when it came out first. It features your one who was in the X List. Do you remember that show we reviewed ages ago?
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't a good show.
Yeah.
Where this girl was told by a fortune teller that one of her exes was the man she's meant to be with. And she has to go back through all of her exes and crosses off one each week.
Christ.
So conceptually it was interesting, but in practicality it wasn't a great show. So the lead from that, I can't think of her name now, but she's in this playing the wife. And we learn about this couple in the first episode who are in a marriage that is in a very strong state of disrepair. And it kind of shows the ways that unravels, I guess, in their interactions with each other. This episode was fairly focused on sex. I don't know if the whole of the show is.
Yeah.
Like, it was about their sexual relationships or their sexual dysfunctions, I suppose.
Right.
But I think it's character-wise, it's really well written.
Hmm.
Like, all of the characters were very realistic. You know, you'd no problem believing anything that was happening on screen. I think it told a very realistic human story. And when I say it, stay with me, because you think about stuff that happened in a show like that, because you've kind of had, they've just opened into a window into real people, really. You know, nobody in it had superpowers,
right,
which usually is a bad thing. But here everything was very believable and true to life. And it's, you know, they try and do this kind of stuff on a nearly daily basis in soap operas, and that level of writing obviously can't be sustained. So it's, you know, it's not believable. Whereas in this kind of show, I think they're showing a lot of character cohesion and just developmental integrity. I like the way it works anyway. So I'm going to watch more of that too.
All right. Thriller, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. I'm still with El Chapo. I sort of watched ages ago. I watched about two episodes of it. Liked it. Parked it. And so got back to it last week, and I've one left in this season because the new season is out since the 15th. So
El Chapo is about...
El Chapo in Mexico, drug dealer, runner, empire builder. Not the guy that was in Narcos, but he would have had associations with. He's the guy who escaped
Narcos
from jail a few times. Do you remember with the tunnels? Just recently... Oh, you wouldn't know. It was in the news.
No, I wouldn't have any idea.
Just recently, like, so he did a couple of tunnels, and he even had them like put a motorbike down there so he could it was under his, like, his shower tray in his room or something. Maximum security prison, you know. Nuts. It's real peckin' Shawshank Redemption without the crawling through sewers thing. Yeah, it's nuts. Yeah. Yeah, worth Googling, actually, if you want to laugh, because it's just ridiculous how easy he was getting out, you know.
Is there a bit of saturation of the market of, like, telling stories of South American drug dealers?
Well, there's only two at the moment, isn't there? Two big ones at the moment?
No, we've watched a number of them this year. We just didn't keep watching them. So there was another one. You remember that guy where the FBI guy was having to...
Tom Cruise movie.
Well, there was that movie, which is another one.
Yeah.
Then there was, related to the Tom Cruise movie, there was a guy that you knew from Narcos.
Yeah.
Somebody got killed in a drug dealer's house and he's going to have to take over.
Okay.
And is that it? Well, that's still four shows and a movie.
Yeah, yeah. I guess...
I take it then you don't think we're saturated.
No, I don't because... I guess there's the two quality ones. And, well, actually, the movie wasn't bad either. But yeah, I think there's room for more. There's a lot of stories down there that, like, we wouldn't have been exposed to. Not necessarily drug running.
Yeah, they haven't been told yet.
Yeah, yeah, lots and lots. So, more from there are great. Yeah. What else did I see this week? I got through something else this week. Nightfall that we're going to talk about. Did you see that?
I did indeed.
Yeah. You didn't or did? Sorry.
I did.
Oh, you did?
I did, okay, indeed. Cool.
Yeah. So this is just a synopsis / plot. It's a historical drama based on Knights of the Templar and their quest for a Holy Grail. There's lots of politics, bloody battles, and yeah, it's kind of watchable.
Was it, maybe 12, in your opinion,
1291.
Steve.
1291, yeah. What did you think?
Well, I saw the synopsis and I was immediately interested because I think all of that Templar stuff and the Holy Wars and all that, the Crusades, is interesting. But once the show started, there is a tremendous lack of quality in everything that's going on. In the fight scenes, for example, it's no Braveheart.
No.
And it's a long way from... So they made a fatal mistake, right? They tried to ape the camera style in the action of 300.
Right.
Without the budget or the actors with abs.
Yeah.
And it looked ridiculous. So in 300, a guy jumps in the air with a sword back. Time slows down and you get to see, like, you know, droplets of sweat and blood in the air and everything. Yeah. And then time comes back to normal speed and he eviscerates someone. There's a spray of blood. And they used to do the same thing in Spartacus. In this, a guy jumps up in the air with a hammer in his hand and everything slows down. But the only thing that was actually moving was him anyway. And then it goes back to normal speed and he bashes a guy in the shield. And then they stand there and look at each other. And that's the difference. Sure.
Hashtag right? Drama.
Yeah. No, people do get disemboweled and eviscerated and all that good stuff. But the quality of all of it isn't there. Which kind of leads me on then to the other problems with the show.
Yeah.
So they have elements of soap opera in it.
Oh, don't
that they? Don't really develop that well.
Yeah.
And it very much seemed to me like, okay, so we've got knights with swords fighting, so the boys will watch, but we need a reason for girls to watch. And I'm not trying to be sexist here, but gotcha. This is what I think the writers were thinking.
Yeah.
So we better kind of shoehorn in an old relationship or two. So they do that, and I don't think the character's chemistry or the writing of that relationship is really any good. And then the plot doesn't seem to know which way it's going. So as it kind of meanders on, I was kind of going, I completely don't care about this. Now, it does finish well. There's a good ending to the episode that I liked. But there's so much missteps along the way that I don't think... I could face another episode of it, to be honest.
Hmm.
But what did you think? What did you think?
I watched the first one, and like yourself, I was a little bit disappointed. I was just a bit, that was very sort of average. And the soap opera bits you talked about, I just thought there was no need for it, and the dialogue wasn't even great in it. So I was I know it's the History Channel. History Channel? Yeah, that's right. But it seemed to have a reasonable budget, but I think they might have blown most of it on the first battle. Because then there was just a lot of chatty bits after that.
Yeah, and that first battle wasn't even that good.
Yeah, but it was more sort of the setting and the ships and all that kind of stuff that wouldn't have been cheap, you know. So I sort of sat on it for a while, and the second episode didn't come out for a number of weeks afterwards, and it sort of time to think about it. And then someone asked me about it, and I was like, oh yeah, that show, yeah. And more thought of it, yeah, I'll give it another shot, you know. So, because I'm interested in that story and that timeline and that kind of stuff, you know. So, actually, episode two wasn't as bad because they had less of the smaller side stories that they felt the need to tell in the first episode. But
okay, well, that'd be a good development.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's still average, but it's better than the previous lower average. You know, the second episode is better than the first one. Yeah, for sure. And you know what? Yeah. I might even try a third. You know,
well, it'd be interesting to see what they do. You know,
that's it. Yeah.
Just like you, I was drawn to the setting. I think.
Yeah.
I'd be a lot more interested in the likes of that than I would South American drug cartels.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's just a personal taste thing. But I think that it was so mishandled that even that interest couldn't sustain me to a second episode. But if you watch the third one and you said that it keeps getting better, you know, I might change my mind.
Yeah. Yeah, once they don't have any, you know, or too many more scenes with what the French king said to the Pope, or, you know, I'm not interested, you know, or what his mistress said to blah, 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 and don't care. So,
yeah. Less of that, please.
Yeah.
And if they did the Hurty Blood bit a bit better too, it'd be no harm.
Yeah. Hurty Blood Murder Face. Yeah.
It's not like there aren't enough good shows that do it well around there to rip off if they wanted.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. let me give you a quick review of the Pirates of Somalia.
Oh, you're on your own here, Scan.
I know. I'll keep it short. This actually had Al Pacino in it. Doing
really?
Yeah. Well, had it been any shorter, it would have been a cameo. You know, he was only in it for a few scenes, but yeah, he was good. He was good. He kind of played the same character as he did in Heat, you know, so it was easy money for him. So this is set in 2008. There's a guy called Jay Bahadur. He's a young Canadian wannabe journalist who hits on the idea if he can really make a name for himself by embedding himself in Somalia to write a book on the lives of the pirates, right? Because there's no one over there at the time. And all they're getting is reports from, I think it's what was left or the remains of the Somalian government. So in the show, it's pretty apparent that, they're trying to show what Somalian culture is like and how the country is, you know, sort of barely run. The president and sort of his lackadaisical approach to things. But it turns more into sort of a white dude with no clue looking to leverage off their issues, you know, because he keeps ringing back going, have I got a book deal yet? You know, it's just like, okay. It's his only reason to be there. But also, it was the way it was shot was another kind of a
problem. Is this a documentary, Steve? It's real? No, like?
It's based on a true story. This guy, Jay Bahadur, so he tries to go and find pirates, actual pirates, and then try and actually get on a boat that had been hijacked and all that kind of stuff. And so you've 2 hours of this, and he's only on it for, well, eventually he gets on a boat, but not for long. But it was just it's the way it was shot. Some of the visuals were just some of them were animated.
Like CGI?
No, like animated. They were
okay.
Animations put in to sort of go between scenes or to emphasize a point, and I was sort of going, well, you know, in this kind of movie, it's the wrong kind of movie for it. I can see what you're trying to do, but it sort of didn't work. Like there was one point.
It messes with the tone, like.
Yeah. Like he was sitting in with some of the pirates where he was trying to talk to them and ask them about what they do and why they do it and so on, and which is quite interesting actually. But then, you know, they start chewing, you know, cat, which is this kind of very popular psychedelic plant it's not even psychedelic, it gives you a euphoric high. But to emphasize this, they animate the effects in a very stereotypical kind of fashion, you know. You know, lots of colors and morphing of images and bright lights and you know, it's a bit weak, really, you know. So, now that said, majority of the acting was pretty good. There's a bit of baggage in there, all right, but, but for the most part.
Is this any relation to that Captain Phillips thing that, you know, Tom Hanks was in?
It is exactly at that time, and they mention it fits in with that because he was there at the time, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, smart.
And it actually occurred then because he was neck deep in it, and he had met some very dangerous dudes, and Captain Phillips thing happened. And, you know, as you know, in Captain Phillips, you know the story. I'm not going to be spoiling this. You know, I was in the news.
Spoil away.
Yeah, some pirates were killed during the altercations, let's say. But they turned out to be mates of the guy that he was talking to. And he turns out to be the only white guy for thousands of miles nearly, you know. But they were just after him then. So he sort of had to get out of Dodge. The president insisted that he leave. So, anyway, that was an interesting tie-up. But, you know,
for the most part, any good?
I found
you
it
don't sound like you loved it.
You know what? No, because I really liked the... I didn't like his motivations. I did like the actual reporting from the front line style thing that they had going on, you know. But overall, as a movie, it wasn't a great movie. You had to give it like a 4, really.
Right. Okay. You know, that's harsh.
Yeah, you'd really. Yeah, I'd say go watch Captain Phillips if you want to know about Somalian pirates. You know. Yeah. So, anyway. That was that one.
Well, luckily for me, I don't care about either, so yeah, I won't watch this or Captain Phillips.
So, I guess we've got our headline.
Yeah, so Star Wars, The Last Jedi, picks up where Star Wars The Force Awakens mm-hmm. left off some 2 years ago now. So, what's changed really since then? They do the whole Star Wars intro where they give you a bit of writing to let you know what's happening. Mm-hmm. And it did read very much like the start of Empire, where they say the rebels are fighting back against the Empire, but oh no, the, what are they called? The First Order are hot on their heels. So it's kind of there was some parallels there. I said at the end of my Force Awakens review that my hope for the next film was that they wouldn't emulate, you know, the story beats of Empire, because if they did that, then we know that yet again, there are no new ideas in the Star Wars universe.
Right. Yeah.
So that was one of my concerns. Another concern I had was that we were going to be meeting Luke Skywalker again, Grand Jedi Master Luke Skywalker, as he is now. And I lamented at some length when The Force Awakens came out that all of the books I had been reading for the past 25 years now don't matter, because they decided that they weren't canon anymore. So I have a very firm view in my head of who Luke Skywalker is.
Yeah.
Because like I say, I've been reading about him for 25 years.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, thanks to Disney, he's not that guy.
Yeah.
So I was worried how they were going to play him, how they were going to portray him and the whole Star Wars universe, and whether they were going to sell it out more than I felt they already had. And what I mean by that is, in the original films, it took Luke Skywalker a full 2 films to learn how to do anything of use with the Force, whereas Rey figured it out in about a quarter hour.
Yeah.
Because, of course, films have moved on now, and we're not in the Karate Kid era anymore, yeah, and it doesn't matter how good a montage is.
Yeah.
When people get powers these days, they just get them.
Yeah.
And then you deal with the aftermath. It's not about the training and the learning how to reach out with your feelings. And, you know, it's none of that anymore. So nowadays, people can just use the Force straight out of the box.
Yeah.
So I was worried about that as well, because there's a lot that could be lost there. So to come to the film then, I can't really contain it any longer. I have to say that I love this film so much more than I thought I was going to.
Yeah.
I was excited to watch it. I'd heard some good things, some bad things about it. But I was completely unprepared for just how good it was. I thought the writing was really, really clever. I thought they set us up a lot of ways to make us think we knew what was about to happen next, and then it didn't. And that happened quite a lot. And they managed to do that without it appearing trite. So they weren't just putting in twists for the sake of twists. They were all cohesive with the narrative. And I really enjoy that. There's one stage in the final act where I put my hands on my head and went, oh, God, don't tell me they're doing this. And they weren't.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't have thought that if you had seen, you know, if you knew more about stuff about Star Wars. For the first time, right, they have found a way to include younger audiences without alienating older ones. And the example I always give of the wrong way of doing this is when Optimus Prime was hiding outside a house and standing on flower pots to make a joke, right? That was the original Transformers, the movie, when Michael Bay got hold of it.
Right.
And all of a sudden, this robot who had led a nation on his homeworld was now hiding from, you know, parents.
Yeah.
Standing on flowers, right?
Yeah.
And that was just because it was funny to kids, but not really that funny to adults.
Yeah.
And it made Optimus Prime's character, it compromised his character completely.
Yeah.
What they've done in this is they've introduced a couple of, I suppose, cutesy elements.
Amazon Prime.
That are really...
No. Oh, God. Sorry.
That are really good. And every so often, there's something in it for younger audiences that they would enjoy that, much like The Simpsons does, appeals to older audiences as well. I thought they did that very cleverly. The effects are amazing. I saw it in 2D. And the scale of the space battles and the speed of the chases.
Yeah.
Really, really good. Like you could nearly feel, you know, the wind blowing back from your head if there was wind in space.
Yeah.
And I liked the way they portrayed and used the Force. They used it largely as a vehicle to tell the story. I like how they fleshed out the character of Kylo Ren, which needed to be done. Because he was very one-dimensional in the first movie. He isn't anymore. And it's to his and the story's betterment. And I just think it was a tour de force of how a Star Wars movie should be.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. I mean, it also had other elements that you got in the first one. There's jokes. There's actual jokes in it. And the Jim Henson stuff looks like Jim Henson stuff. You know, they don't try and Jar Jar Binks them. You know, there's little characters in it, and they do look, you know, like Muppets nearly. You know, but they're hilarious as well for their little parts. Let's say, I thought they were good throwbacks to the original as well. What else? I just found that it just kept moving. There was no points where they didn't get too sentimental about certain things, especially like I thought they might do. Fast and the Furious type thing with, you know, Princess Leia, and they didn't, which was great. And
I had a huge problem with one Princess Leia scene that I can't bring up without spoiling, so I'm not going to.
Okay, talk about it afterwards. Yeah,
we can talk about it off the air. But I didn't feel like Princess Leia brought anything to the story.
Apart from just being Princess Leia. I guess.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But you could almost have changed her out for a new character.
It could have been the colonel or commander.
It could have been somebody differently, different.
Yeah.
But that's okay though.
No, but you know, I think her role was nearly to be Precious. You know, I don't mean to act Precious, just to be something that's very precious to the rest of them.
Oh, to be okay, I understand what you mean. Yeah, I know what you mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, look, she did the story no harm, except for the one scene that really, really didn't like. But it's funny the way Princess Leia changes over the years. Because, again, I also read for 25 years about how she had changed.
Right.
And, I can't really say too much more.
Okay.
I'm heading into spoiler territory here. But I felt that she was a little bit superfluous. There was nothing bad about the way they portrayed her, bar one thing. But for the most part, she was good.
Ireland was looking well.
Skellig Vickel certainly did, and the Malin Head.
Yeah.
Which is where a lot of the Luke scenes were filmed. It looked really good.
Didn't it just? Yeah. Where else? Who else? There was another connection I want to... Donald Gleeson. He actually did. I preferred his character in this movie than the last movie. I thought he was more evil.
He had more to do. More and stature. He was... I'm not sure yet, but I think I might prefer him to Moff Tarkin.
All right.
Who is from the original movies, and he was a very good, a ruling class, an officer class bad guy.
No, you could picture him as a Nazi commander, you know.
Yeah, he's brilliant, but I think he did a really good job. I completely forgot he was Donald Gleason for a start, which is a great job. He was completely, what was that character's name? General Knox or something like that. I can't think of what his name was, but he was really good. It was a really good performance. I think Adam Driver and Daisy Ridley did an amazing job. Their on-screen interactions were excellent.
Yeah.
I think they were both incredibly believable. And I enjoyed watching their story.
Well, it's almost like there is a load of different stories, but a load of different movies nearly. Just the feeling of the scenes. Like when you consider, what's his name? The ex-stormtrooper and the other girl. Like their scenes. They're very sort of jokey and light, but even though they're serious. And then you just get this feeling of very much, you know, that is it's much more serious when it's the other two are on screen, you know. I know it's...
It's the galaxy survival versus a bit of crack.
Yeah, exactly.
But I thought Finn was good too, though.
I know, yeah.
The kind of holes that I would pick in this film are all story related because I'm such a diehard Star Wars nerd.
Yeah.
Although I do need to tell you a story. It's good that there's always people who are worse than you because it allows you to judge people and point and laugh. I was in the cinema, and about two or maybe three rows behind me were four guys, probably mid-20s, mm-hmm. maybe even 30s. And plainly, these guys were big Star Wars fans.
Right.
But obviously, they were a little bit insecure about it, and they wanted to make sure that everybody knew they were big Star Wars fans. So whenever there was any kind of an in-joke, they made sure that they laughed the loudest. Exactly, yeah. And there was a couple of things that happened that were obviously just, they were funnier if you had seen the back stories.
Right.
So they made sure that they were in uproarious laughter.
Make
sure everyone knew they appreciated it better than we did. Like how I imagine a wine connoisseur, you know, appreciates wine better than the rest of us.
I'm delighted that this movie is as good as it is. Now, because I'd heard and read reviews about how boring it was, and you know, there was some backlash, I believe, by people who, like those guys, I guess, who were in your cinema, that just thought like the jokes are too jokey and they didn't address fan theories and they didn't go after, you know, what's her name's parents and, you know, all this kind of, all, you know, who cares, you know, that kind of way.
Didn't address fan theories. What's wrong with the world?
I know, yeah. I thought it was a great movie. I thought it was perfect. It's perfect.
Did William Shakespeare address fan theories?
Perfect space spaghetti western, you know?
Yeah, no, I haven't actually read any of that. I need to get on some deep subreddit forums about Star Wars to see what are the hardcore geeks saying. But I consider myself part of that club, and I definitely think it was a great movie. It was a really, really long film that just flew by, you know.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of skill in storytelling to make that happen.
Yeah.
And it was definitely there in this film.
I might have to go and see it again.
Yeah, I'm tempted to go and see it again, all right, maybe, you know. Bring new people, introduce new people to it.
Yeah, I'd like to go to the IMAX to see it.
Imagine that film in IMAX.
Yeah, exactly.
How cool that would be.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's just one of those movies. I might have to book that then. it's a 9.5. It's a 9 for me. For sure.
Yeah, it's a 9 for me. It is an amazing film.
Yeah.
I think they've put so much, they have paid back so much of the, I guess, the trust that we put in the writers. with a property that's so dear to so many people's heart, even after it was almost burned to the ground by George Lucas's prequels. And it's great just to see that trust repaid.
So, is there anything you're looking forward to over Christmas? Anything new coming out? Or?
Not having to go to work, I suppose.
I just saw there's a trailer for Sicario 2. Do you remember Sicario?
This is not something I'm looking forward to.
It's Narcs again.
FBI. See, this is what I'm talking about.
Mexican border. There's Ocean's 8 trailers out.
I saw that. All girls, isn't it?
I think so, yeah. And G.I. Joe 3.
I didn't even actually watch G.I. Joe
2. Not? I don't believe it.
That's a fact. I want to, but I didn't.
Let me see. Who else is out? Yeah, Ocean's 8, I guess, is the next one, isn't it?
Well, see, I've seen the film I was looking forward
to. Yeah. And there's no Lord of the Rings related one this year. First time in years.
Yeah, that's right. The Hobbit's finished at last.
Is Deadpool 2 out soon?
I don't think so, but they are starting to release trailers.
Yeah, okay.
Like very, very short snippets, and Ryan Reynolds is putting pictures on his Instagram.
Oh, is he?
Alluding to things that are happening.
Right.
But no, I'd say that'd be very funny. I hope it will be anyway.
Yeah.
But right. I don't think, like, I think much like yourself, watching Star Wars again is probably something that'd be top of my list.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think the superhero movies start up again until next year. Like, Black Panther is on February the 16th.
Okay.
I'm not sure if that is the next one, but I think it might be.
Yeah.
I'm now, after having watched the Justice League, I'm now interested in the Aquaman movie, which I wasn't.
Oh, yeah.
But,
Your son, no. Your son and your stars.
Yeah.
Will you
Pitch Perfect 3 is something I'd like to see.
Yeah, that trailer came out today, actually.
Well, that movie's out this week, I'm pretty sure.
Is it? Oh, sorry. Yeah. I only got the notification for a trailer today, actually. I just noticed it.
Yeah.
What do you call it? Did you get to Willy Wonka yet this year?
Christmas movie.
Is it not an annual thing in your place, though?
No, my annual Christmas movie is Die Hard.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah. So it's Die Hard and, what do you call it? What's the one? The famous black and white one. It's the Ghosts of Christmas Past and blah, blah, blah. But Bill, it's me. What do you call it?
A Christmas Tale or a Christmas Story? I can't remember. I know the one you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. God, even a man's name.
Well, Scrooged is the right version of that.
Oh, yeah,
to
that's
watch.
Funny. Yeah, yeah. Well, the Muppets one is brilliant.
Yeah.
It's hilarious. Yeah, so I haven't seen or in years Christmas 42nd Street. So I might do that.
Oh, God, I've seen that enough times to last me, I think.
Oh, really? And was there anything else? Yeah, Die Hard. I have to put that on. Yeah, Die Hard. That's always a good one. Which one is the airport one? Is that two?
Die Hard 2, yeah.
Yeah, so either of them will do, yeah. It's always during rush hour, isn't it, at Christmas? Yeah. That's all the news.
That's it. That's short, all we've got short, this
short,
week, Steve.
Short and sweet, yeah. So, happy Christmas, bicyclers.
Absolutely, bicyclers and bicyclettes, take care of each other.
We're back in the new year with the bikies. Jeepers, big one. Big one, start season.
Yeah. So if you're looking to find out what we thought was the best and worst of 2017, then our next episode, which will be in January, I'm pretty sure, will answer those questions for you.
Cool. All right, we'll leave it there. So from just Stephen Mark, stay classy.
Where the fuck is everybody?
You can't get the staff these days.